261%. That's how much bird populations have surged across Scotland's rewilding sites. Nature isn't just surviving, it's coming back. Good morning. Welcome to Brightside Daily. I'm Rory, alongside Elizabeth.
And today, we've got five stories that remind us the world is making more progress than the headlines suggest.
We'll take you to Scotland, where rewilding is producing staggering results for wildlife.
And we'll mark a historic milestone. 10% of our ocean is now officially protected.
Let's get into it. Imagine walking through a Scottish glen and spotting birds that haven't thrived there in decades. That's what's happening right now across more than 100 rewilding sites in Scotland. The numbers are remarkable. Bird species numbers have surged by 261%. Breeding territories are up 546%. And pollinators, the insects that keep ecosystems alive, have more than doubled in variety, with their abundance increasing tenfold. This matters because the UK is one of the most nature-depleted countries in Europe. We've lost half our wildlife since 1970. But these sites prove something important. When we give nature room to recover, it does, quickly. Species like the spotted flycatcher, cuckoo and woodcock, all threatened nationally, are bucking trends and thriving in rewilded landscapes. And this isn't limited to grand estates. Community-managed projects are seeing the same results. No, rewilding isn't perfect. Some farmland birds may decline as habitats change. And long-term success depends on continued funding and landowner commitment. But what's happening in Scotland right now is measurable, documented recovery. And it's happening across the entire country.
546% more breeding territories. I had to read that twice.
I know. And the pollinator abundance, 10 times what it was. That's not just a statistic. That's the sound of an ecosystem coming back to life.
The cuckoo especially. I don't think I've ever heard one in the wild.
You might want to book a trip to Scotland.
We've crossed a threshold that seemed distant just a few years ago. More than 10% of the world's ocean is now officially protected. And we added 5 million square kilometers in just the last 2 years alone. To put that in perspective, that's an area larger than the entire European Union. Protected in 2004 months. This matters because the ocean produces over half of the oxygen we breathe. It absorbs a quarter of all carbon dioxide emissions. Protecting marine ecosystems isn't just about saving fish. It's about maintaining the planetary systems that make life on Earth possible. The milestone puts real momentum behind the 30 by 30 goal, protecting 30% of land and sea by 2030. We're not there yet, but the pace is accelerating, and for the first time, that target looks achievable. Of course, protection on paper isn't the same as protection in practice. Enforcement varies. Some areas are what conservationists call paper parks, designated but not managed. And climate change threatens even protected waters. But the direction is clear. More ocean is being safeguarded than ever before.
I keep thinking about that oxygen statistic. Every second breath we take comes from the ocean.
It's easy to forget when you live on land, but the ocean is doing the work of billions of trees, silently, every day.
And now 10% of it has a fighting chance. Sometimes progress means filling gaps that never should have existed. Researchers in Amsterdam have created the first complete 3D map of the clitoral nerve network. The same milestone was reached for the penis 30 years ago. This isn't just about anatomical completeness. This map has immediate practical applications. 200 million women alive today have been affected by female genital mutilation. For those seeking reconstructive surgery, understanding the nerve network means surgeons can avoid damaging sensitive tissue. But there's a broader story here. For centuries, female anatomy has been under-researched, under-taught, and surrounded by shame. The clitoris itself was only fully mapped in the late 1990s. Before that, medical textbooks often omitted it entirely. This research pushes back against that legacy with rigorous science. It represents a cultural shift as much as a medical one.
Women's bodies are finally getting the scientific attention they deserve. The research is still awaiting peer review, and surgical applications will need validation through clinical trials. But the map exists now, and that's 30 years of inequality being corrected.
30 years? It's staggering when you put it like that.
The gender gap in medical research has real consequences. Conditions affecting women are misdiagnosed every day because the science was never done.
This feels like a genuine turning point, though. Not just the research itself, but what it represents. Britain's energy transition just hit a new milestone. Last year, 52.5% of the UK's electricity came from renewable sources. That's up from 50.4% the year before. For the second consecutive year, clean energy has outpaced fossil fuels in powering the country. Wind power is leading the charge. The UK now operates some of the world's largest offshore wind farms, and the sector keeps expanding. This isn't just an environmental achievement. It reduces reliance on volatile gas markets, which means more stable energy bills and lower carbon emissions. Here's what makes this significant. The UK has shown that a major economy can reliably run on renewable energy. The lights stay on, the factories run, the hospitals keep working. The transition is actually working. Now, electricity is only about 20% of total UK energy use. Heating and transport still lag behind. And the grid needs upgrading to handle variable renewable sources. But in the electricity sector, Britain has become a success story. From less than 10% renewable in 2010 to over half today, that's transformation.
I remember when people said renewable energy couldn't power a modern economy.
They were wrong, and the UK is the proof.
52.5% and climbing. There's a statistic that rarely makes headlines but deserves attention. Global deaths from terrorism fell by 28% in 2025 to 5,582. That's the lowest level in 20 years. The number of attacks declined by 22%. 81 countries recorded fewer terrorist incidents. And for the first time in the Global Terrorism Index history, more countries improved than deteriorated. This isn't a statistical blip. It's the continuation of a trend that reflects sustained counterterrorism efforts. Improved international intelligence sharing and addressing root causes in conflict zones. Coordinated global action is saving lives. The threat hasn't disappeared. Terrorism remains concentrated in specific regions. Far-right extremism is rising in Western countries. And one major attack could shift the statistics dramatically. But the overall trajectory is clear and positive. What was once seen as an intractable problem is proving to be addressable through persistence and cooperation.
20 years? That's a generation growing up in a safer world.
It's easy to miss when you follow the news cycle, but the data tells a different story than the headlines sometimes.
Progress doesn't always announce itself. Sometimes you have to look at the numbers to see it.
Time for our rapid fire round. Here are this week's numbers that matter.
36,640. That's how many traffic deaths occurred in the United States last year. Sounds high, but it's a 6.7% decline and the second lowest level on record. Evidence-based safety interventions are working.
15. That's how many African nations have now ratified the African Road Safety Charter, making it legally binding. The continent with the world's most dangerous roads is committing to halve fatalities by 2030.
130. That's how many governments agreed to new protections for migratory species at the COP15 conference in Brazil. Blue corridors for turtles, flyways for birds, international cooperation for wildlife that crosses borders.
And finally, 1. Japan was the only G7 nation without joint custody for divorced parents. As of this month, that's changed. Children can now maintain relationships with both parents after divorce. That's your Bright Side Daily for Friday.
If any of these stories made you feel a bit more hopeful about the world, consider sharing this episode with someone who could use some good news today.
And if you want the full stories with all the links and sources, head to thebrightside.news. Everything we cover is there in detail.
Tomorrow, we're looking at innovations in sustainable agriculture and a remarkable community project bringing clean water to rural villages.
Until then, remember that progress is happening, even when it doesn't make the front page.
Take care. We'll see you tomorrow.